You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book box.
Yeah, right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Martin Ruta, and with me today are...
Chris Ellis.
Martin Peterson.
And Tony White.
How's everybody doing today?
Pretty good.
Great.
Excellent.
Coming in a little bit hot, pretty like good. I said, with comic talk before we started recording.
we were talking about comic collection sizes, and Martin diminishing his comic collection, saying it's not big enough. And now I'm doing some math here, and I definitely don't have double what you have.
Mm-hmm. Close enough, though.
You know, so you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So $4,000.
CLZ tells me that I have 12,816 comics in my collection currently. And then I've got about, I would say, 12 long boxes of stuff to sell, stuff that I've already got pulled and set aside. So I probably have around 25,000 books.
So none of that 12,000 is in comics, whatever.
Those are all my collection. You should see my room. It's like jam packed with boxes and stuff. And then I've got like a fancy little rack, and it's got like it's my first appearance rack. So it's got like Deadpool and Blade and Hulk. It's not Hulk. I wish Wolverine and Punisher and Deathstroke. So it's got like all those. And my kid says when I die, he's taking only that. That's all he wants. Just that rack.
There you go.
That's a stacked rack.
It's pretty impressive. It sounds way better than it really is. I bought some of those a long time ago, so they've been with me a long ride.
That's the grab that box when the house is on fire box.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I got a bug out bag, but I need to make a let's get out of here box.
Exactly. I mean, I infamously sold, 11,000 comics in October out of my collection. And CLZ is telling me that we're at 6,700. So what was that? 1770? 17,700? So that's not that bad, I guess, but
a lot.
I've sold off chunks before. Like I sold off a whack in 2005. I'm not even sure when else. The scary statistic here, though, is my bookshelf, 921 trade paperbacks, hardcovers, and omnibuses.
It's a good thing you keep those on a cement floor, because if not, you'd be bending stuff.
Well, I don't have a box spring. It's just all comics mattress thrown on top. It's just no room.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bookcases.
Nice.
And there's still a pile by the bathroom.
Oh, crazy.
Just gotta shake my head thinking about it.
As long as you read them once in a while, that's the important part.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, is that, you know, eventually the whole retirement thing's gonna happen, and I'll have a lot of time on my hands. I won't be able to see because my eyes will be shot, but maybe I'll be able to sit there and read some comics with one of them big magnifying glass things that you put on the page.
Just don't do it outside. I hear those things start fires.
Can you imagine? You're sitting out there at the McDonald's having your coffee with the rest of your retirement buddies and you set fire to the place because your comic book goes on fire.
It's
crazy. Tony's on the one on the acquisition streak from what I
hear. Yeah, I've just been buying collections and, you know, small ones, big ones. The biggest one I bought was this last one, and it's been a few weeks. I had a guy contact me to buy another collection, but he did it with like so much attitude that I just didn't even want to respond.
Oh, nice.
I know what it's worth. I've been collecting as long as you have, and you know, I won't take any lowball offers, but let me know if you want any of these. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, you're going to be a delight.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that, and I don't have the space for another collection right at the moment anyways until I get rid of probably 10 boxes.
Yeah. Contact a comic shop, and when they offer you 5 cents a book, then come back to me.
I wish he had been nice. But I'm glad he wasn't, because you know, I'm looking at my bank account thinking, yeah, maybe I shouldn't buy another collection. My wife's looking at me like, no, you should not buy another collection because I made zero off of the last few. But I'm like, yeah, but when I die, you're gonna make a lot more than zero.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes. It looks like some of the comic conventions are firing back up, like the smaller ones.
Yeah, so I just got an invite.
No, go ahead.
I just got an invite to a local one, a really small one I went to back in 2019. And I'm probably going to say no. I don't think I want to go, just because I'm looking at the, like, everybody I've talked to that's gone to shows has said that they've had wonderful shows. You know, they've met a lot of good people. They've moved a lot of books. I don't know. It feels like such a hassle now. Like, I haven't been to one in a while, like to haul all my stuff there. And, you know, it's 3 days, or this place is 2.5 days, I guess. It's a Friday evening, a Saturday, and a Sunday. But it's a lot. Like, they have a very long day. They have, I think it's 5 to 11 on Friday.
Yeah,
and then Saturday's 9 to 11, and then Sunday's 9 to 5. And I'm like, 9 to 5 is a long day. 9 to 11 is insane.
Yeah,
it's a really long day when you're at a comic convention in the Tri-City area, and it's a ghost town out there, and you're just playing Nerf with other people that are at tables. Poor Andy. Over there across, me and Andrew Thomas were like trying to throw paper airplanes at him. Dave Wildstar, he always has like the little regional ones around here.
Yeah.
And I usually get a table just for the sake of being at the convention, having like a headquarters to, you know, walk around and chat with everybody and just have some place to sit down. And, but like Chris, I've been slowly banking up a couple of boxes of doubles and triples and other books and stuff like that. So I must have, I'm thinking, 9 short boxes of stuff to put on a table and just say, you know, have that, or $2 a book. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you'll move a lot of that stuff. I find whenever I go to there's a large outdoor flea market here that happens once a year. I'll clear boxes and boxes of stuff. I haven't been there in a few years, but when I do go, I come back with practically nothing.
Yeah. And it's all sorts of stuff, from 25-cent books up to modern stuff, right? Like, it's just, you know, I need issue 6 of whatever it is, Spider-Woman from the 70s. And somebody's got 3, 4, 5, and 6 for sale cheaper than I can buy 6 by itself. Well, I'll buy those 4 books, you know, do some swapping to make sure I have the best condition ones in the collection, and then throw the other ones in this pile of comics for trade. So There's a whole short box of DC Archives too. Same thing, doubles and stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So what I do with my what ifs and my Marvel 25th anniversary border covers is, I'll find one, somebody will contact me or the shop or whatever, and can I take a look at it? See if it's better than any of the ones I have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think there's one in Oshawa tomorrow.
Okay.
And then he's gonna have one in Bowmanville later on. I'll probably get a table at the Bowmanville one.
Okay.
Couple out by the Kingston way, and then everything else is like way the heck out there, Tilsonburg and stuff like this. So it'll be nice to get back into it a little bit.
I did Tilsonburg one year with Richard. It was, there was one day it was just dead after like 2:30. I think it might've been this. Yeah, I guess it was the Sunday, just dead. And all the guests that David had started leaving, they started peeling out at like noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were just places just empty. Like by 2:30, there were none of his guests were there.
Nice.
But, the show was actually, besides being absolutely dead after 2:30 on Sunday and absolutely dead after 4 o'clock on Saturday, it was actually not a bad show. It was busy for a short period of time, but it was a good crowd.
Yeah, it was connected to like the fair out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, so, like 165 years that fair has been going on or something.
So everybody from the fair would stop in and take a look, but
nice. Gotta get home when them skeeters come out.
Martin and I have done two tables with Wildstar so far. The first one we ended up tabling beside Dan when he was doing little
tractor.
Yeah, little he had tractor. Yeah, he had little Aurora Man, and he had Tractor Boy and stuff. So we tabled beside him. But Martin and I were just trying to sling some books that we had. And then the second show we did, we were actually trying to we had our novels that we were selling. So yeah, that was kind of, and actually we still have a credit with him for a show. So have to wait and see what happens. But if he ever brings one back to Peterborough, I'm not sure. I think there was some sort of insurance issue or something that he's been kind of skirting our area. So I think they made it harder for him to have the shows.
The show used to be at the Evinrude Center, which is city property. And the city has made a whole bunch of insurance demands and stuff like this that are making it really expensive to put it on city property. Really? And everything else is kind of divey. Like he had it at the venue once.
Yeah.
It was okay. You know, it was all right.
The layout was really horrible. It just felt like you're in a weird hallway.
Yeah, because it's a nightclub. It's not really a comic convention spot. And I know he's had it at the Lindsay Mall once or twice in the mall itself.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting concept for sure. But we'll see how it goes.
I think Dan was at one in a mall where he was set up in front of a store. And
Yeah.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
It's an interesting concept, anyways. But and then Toronto Comic Con's 3 weeks from now,
I think. So around, it's the 20th of March. It's that weekend.
I'll actually be in New Brunswick that week.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter's moving to St. John. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're moving her, and then probably pop up and see my sister in Bathurst. Brother-in-law's in the hospital at St. John, so we might stop in there for a bit and kind of take a look around and buy a house.
Buy a house, yeah.
Yeah, that's what every upper Canadian's been doing, coming here and buying houses.
Well, that's because every Torontonian is coming over here and buying houses.
There's like...
Like my folks bought their house 2013-ish for 200 and change. And there's a house now two doors up from them posted on sale $650 for a two bedroom, one bathroom house. Like it's bonkers. And it's probably going to go for $100,000 over asking because Peterborough, with the town that I'm in here with Martin and Chris, the average sale of a single family dwelling is $800,000.
Unbelievable.
It's bonkers, but that's because everybody's cashing out in the Toronto area and coming up here because it's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Right. So it just like you were saying, you know, the upper Canadians are getting priced out of the market here in Ontario. They're looking at retiring on the East Coast. So yeah, they're going out there.
Getting a ton from BC, Alberta, and Ontario. And they're like, not a lot of markets in this area, like over the years, have been so hot that you're constantly doing, you know, 100,000 above asking. But for the past year, it's been pretty much anything that goes up, you know, they set a date, just like in Ontario, they set a date to submit your offers and everything goes 40, 60, 100,000 over what the asking price is.
Yeah.
And it's insane. A house that would have cost me $299 back in early 2019, $450 now, and that's probably not being generous.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts what's going on. You know, I mean, we can all go retire up in Elliott Lake, if except for them mosquitoes that we were talking about. Houses up there are still cheap.
I saw an ad. It was from Timmins. They were actually advertising that they wanted people to come there because you could buy a big house for like $200,000, like a five bedroom house. You can buy that for like $220,000 and have like property, and you know. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get people to come that way.
But then you have like a 4-hour day during the winter. No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like my sister, when she moved to Bathurst from Hamilton, Ontario, she bought a house in Bathurst. I think it was 205. She paid for the house. Nice, big, huge, massive lot. 2-car garage, but it's like a workshop and 2 cars.
Nice.
So it's a very big separate garage. She's got 4 bedrooms. 1 bath, but they put in a bath in the basement, and 205.
Wow.
She sold her shitty piece of junk little house in Hamilton for like 600, you know, paid off her mortgage, moved to New Brunswick, and you know, she's mortgage free, 12 years younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, but he's got her my brother-in-law, he's got family in Bathurst, so they had a good reason to head it out there.
And down into Bathurst.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of a French accent there. Yes. Just a tad.
Yeah, they're born with a cigarette in their mouth and a mustache. It's
yeah. But it was nice. I mean, like Love I went up there to visit for a week, and it was nice enough. And there was plenty of people that spoke both French and English. So just motivate my bum to bone up on my grade 9 French. And
yeah,
you know, la bibliothèque. Let's go.
St. John's great, actually. Your daughter's going to St. John. Yeah. St. John's got a couple of great shops there. I can't remember the name of the one off the top of my head, but it's like 2 stories. It's a really nice spot. It'll come to me in a minute. But
yeah, well, we're definitely gonna sightsee a little bit after we get her settled, because we're taking the whole week. And you know, if we get back in time to spend a day at the Toronto Comic Con, then we do. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah,
see how it goes. Not a big
deal.
You
just have to hit every comic shop while you're down there. That's all you got to do, right?
Yeah,
pick up some new fancy stuff that you don't see everywhere.
Well, there was no comic shop in Bathurst, but there was a hobby shop that had comics. So you know, you could get your Warhammer miniatures as well as a pull list and stuff. So,
oh, nice.
It was all right. Not that I need a pull list anymore. I think I got 4 comics on my pull list now. Another one dropped off.
Isn't that up though? I thought you were down to like 2.
Yeah. Well, I've got, oh, here it is. Blue and the Gold only has 2 more issues left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to go down. Refrigerator Full of Heads. I've just been collecting these. I haven't read a single one.
Oh no?
They're just sitting in my 2-read box.
Oh, they're fun.
Should read them, but I got.
Should, they're fun.
Yeah. Aquaman.
Nice.
Aquaman and
not his, really.
I don't know anything about this this younger Aquaman. Is he like his son? Is he a sidekick? Is he related to him?
No, he's not. He's just he's a citizen that has a sort of a similar situation as him. So, and I think he controls water and can make it do things like with Green Lantern energy and turn it into weapons. And
Mira can do that. She can solidify water.
Yeah, he basically has her powers.
So pretty soon the comics can be called Aqua Teen Hunger Force, right? Because there'll be 6 different Aquamen and Aquawomen and Aquagirls. So yeah, that was my pickup today from the comic shop, was those 3 books.
Actually, that Aquaman is the leader of the team in Young Justice.
Oh, right on.
I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
I got some high hopes. Hopefully it'll be entertaining. I don't know. There's been not a lot of monthly books that I'm finding entertaining lately. I don't know if it's just my attention span is off or what.
Yeah, everybody goes through a lull. Everybody goes, you know, you're hard into comics and everything's great, and then you start petering out a little bit.
Yeah, this is like my first lull ever. And I don't know if it's COVID driven or like I used to read a ton of novels and I haven't read any novels in the last 2 years, or so we'll see how it goes. But I got like a stack of books here to to go through. Mark Allard Will, a friend of mine from the Comic Book Alliance, Canadian Comic Book Alliance, he finally finished his Siegfried graphic novel.
Nice.
So I got to read that. This is Siegfried's based, some property is based on this legend. I can't remember what. I don't think it's Lord of the Rings, but it's something else. So that'll be fun to read. That came in the mail.
It's definitely familiar, but I don't know the...
Yeah, I'm sure he told me, but I forgot completely. So we'll dig into it.
It'll give you something really good.
Yeah, exactly. And then years and years and years ago, there was a young lad named Carl Howard that I met through the Mego collecting community, and he was starting to draw and stuff like this. And, you know, he's just starting out and stuff. So his art was a little rougher and stuff like this. But it's been, when was that? 2015, 14, 16, no, 15. I think it was 2015 I met him. He finally put it all together into a graphic novel called Pinion, and that got released. So I grabbed my copy of that, and you know, it's really cool to every so often when I bump into him at a comic convention or stuff, he'd show me some of his work and stuff. It's just so neat to see how, you know, artists improve just by practicing, right? Just by constantly drawing, constantly working at their craft. And I don't want to use demeaning words because I'm old and crusty, but kids, young reader, accessible artwork. Is that the right way of putting it? You know, it's really good. You know,
all ages artwork.
All ages. Yeah. Like it's really good. Pretty professional quality. You know, he's really, really picked up his chops there and stuff like
that. That's
right. Pretty nice.
Kind of an all ages book and stuff like this, and so it should be fun to read.
And he's not working in the business now.
No, that's just actually
he did.
Yeah, he's just doing it on the side. He for years he was in the movie theater business. I don't know if he's still doing that, managing a movie or what, but I always thought that'd be a fun side gig or you know, part-time job or something, and get to watch all the movies, you know, or own a movie house back in the day. Watch all the movies and just be part of that cinema experience all the time. Thought that'd be fun, but
owning one would be fun. Having to go there every week, but yeah, you know, on somebody else's schedule would not be.
No,
I just can't imagine it's very fun during COVID, though.
No, not at all. Nothing's fun during COVID.
Well, if I can, I like it during COVID because the theaters were down to 50%. Well, I mean, they were closed for a long time. But they were down to 50% capacity. So you got to book your seats. There was nobody, you know, two seats in front of you. There's nobody two seats to the side of you.
Nobody kicking you in the back of your seat.
Yeah. I thought it was great. It's a fantastic. I wish they are permanently at 50%. Sorry, movie theaters. I find it a much better experience not having somebody directly in front of me, directly behind me, and directly beside me and my family. I do. I'd rather. This point, when it goes back to 100%, I'm feeling like I might just pay for the seats around me. twice now we've rented out an entire theater just to watch a movie, and then invited the other, because there's four of us, we invited 26 other people, because you can have up to 30 people to watch something when it first came out, so we wouldn't have to be in a crowd.
That'd be fun.
Which sounds kind of extra, but it's not that expensive.
I heard that was a thing during COVID that they were doing, and I always thought that'd be a fun thing to do.
It was great. We did it twice. I think the Brissons were with us twice when we did it. Wonder Woman and I can't remember the last one. Captain Marvel, maybe.
Yeah,
it was a while ago.
The last movie I went and saw, I think, was the Spider-Man flick, and they had just changed the rules that they weren't allowed to serve food, so no popcorn. And you had to wear your mask the whole time, and I didn't realize. So I was wearing my reusable, washable cloth mask instead of a nice thin paper one. Oh my gosh. I was just like,
we went and saw Spider-Man just before they took away the food. Like they had said that it was coming. And so we went and saw it on the Sunday. And I think on the Monday or something, it was like, that was what they did. But I mean, half the fun of going to the movies is eating the popcorn too. Right. So
that is true. We were the same way. We went and saw it, and we were able to have snacks and you know, book the seats around us and stuff. And then I think Janet, Ed's wife, was posting about it a couple of days later, and like, we had to keep our masks on, we couldn't eat anything. I'm like, that we were just there, and that they didn't make us do that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had changed so quickly.
My
youngest, his birthday's on Christmas Day, and he's like, I want to see Spider-Man. So we were smart, and we waited till like mid-January when you were able to eat your popcorn, have your drinks, and he just loved it, because not eating the popcorn or drinks takes away half of it. The excitement.
It's about the experience of going, of watching the movie. Like, the theater is, it's huge, it's big, and that's why people go. Like, you can have a big TV at your house, but it's just not the same.
No.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. If it's, you know, like, I used to go to, and I'm sure Chris and Martin did too, when it was a cheap night, $3 movies at Lansdowne Place.
Yeah.
So they moved the movie theaters into the mall, into a big Cineplex, and the downtown ones became dirt cheap. They finally closed the downtown ones and opened up a new one downtown called Galaxy Cinema. So the ones at the mall became the cheap seats.
Yeah.
So you'd go there, and I mean, the floors are sticky. Half the speakers didn't work. Yeah. You know, it was just, and it was a Cineplex where they really shouldn't have had a Cineplex. So some of the theaters were, I don't know, 15 seats. Some of them were a little bit bigger. So that was always,
well, one of them had like a huge pole right in the middle of the screening. So if you got a crappy seat, you couldn't even see the screen.
Yeah. It was kind of good. So I think I'd rather have my big 65-inch TV and couch and easy access to the bathroom than that experience.
Yeah.
But pausing so you don't have to lose like 3 or 4 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
But when you get the AVX going and the 3D and like you said, the comfy reclining seats, and I understand some of the theaters you can even order a beer and have like VIP treatment and stuff. And you know, that's it's just an evolution. It's what they needed to do to keep people from sitting at home watching on their TVs.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I mean, what was it? I can't remember which of the last three Star Wars movies. They had an R2-D2, plastic R2-D2, about a foot and a half tall. And the top of his head was the beverage container. So he had a straw in his head and it was filled with Coke. And then the bottom was full of popcorn. Well, you know, I bought one of those. It's in the bathroom. It's been there since. So I'm just sitting there holding this R2-D2 watching the Star Wars movie. I'm like, this is the greatest.
10-year-old Martin fell, last year.
Exactly. I fell for the big Deadpool when it came out. It had like the head, and it was a popcorn, and it just lifted up. I fell for that one.
That sucker's going for a few dollars on eBay right now.
Sell it, buy some comic books.
Martin's like, where did I put that thing? Where is it? Find it in the laundry room full of clothes pegs or something like that. I don't know. Anybody else get anything cool in the mail? I got some more things here, but
this actually showed up.
Oh, en français.
Français. C'est bon. $1.50.
Parlez-vous en
français? And so that was a nice little pickup. That one just I kind of just leafed through that one. I didn't read that one too much, but I got this one in too. It's a
G.I. Jackrabbits.
So it's,
oh my god.
There's I don't know if it's a parody comic, I can't help myself. So I picked up a couple of parody comics recently. So I got that one and the mildly microwaved prepubescent Kung Fu Gophers.
Oh, that's great.
And
my favorite of those is the adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters. There you go.
Right there. And I got this one. Move her over to the camera here. And it's doesn't look very good, but it's bloody hot. It's like a Bloodshot knockoff by Parody Press. And it even has the reflective cover, you know, because that's important.
Those are fun.
Yeah, and then I got some of my got some stuff from out east. Actually, I got my Usagi Yojimbo, the Mike Ruth variant.
Nice.
And then House of Slaughter number one, Mike Ruth variant. Grade
there you
9.8. Yeah,
Are we all ripping out the Mike Ruth variants?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, look at you go.
You go ahead. I'll tell my story after.
And then my Atom number 6 showed up.
Oh, right. Nice.
So I haven't actually cracked into. I got the I got number 6 like in the in a floppy, but I got the trade digitally. So I got to crack that open and read that, and then yeah. So that's pretty much all I've got really recently. I mean, I picked up a bunch of like filler issues for like Cable and stuff like that, and so just to, you know, round out my my numbers, but
yeah
so that's pretty much it. I did read the Jackrabbits one, and it's kind of cheesy, but it's fun. And I did read the mildly microwave prepubescent Kung Fu Gophers and the adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters. Those were they're black and white, but they're a lot of fun. So it was kind of
issue one of the hamsters. The cover, it looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ripoff. Like, it's black with the black border, yeah, the characters and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember being silly me, because I probably would have loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I had this really hate on for black and white comics back then. I was like, black and white, what is this, 1960s? Yeah. You guys don't own a crayon? So I kind of stayed away from them all, but somebody did give me a copy of Hamsters. I was like, oh, this is really good, this is fun.
So yeah, it's kind of like the newsprint. I was really excited when comics switched from the newsprint to like the magazine stock. And you know what? I was even happy to pay that little extra premium that the comics went up when they did that. And I was like, man, this is so much nicer. It's like, you're less likely to tear a page because it wasn't as thin and sticky to your fingers. And so, yeah, I guess I'm old. I lived through it.
Well, how many times have we gotten a comic book on newsprint that had like an extra piece that hadn't been cut off properly, or it had those little slots in the bottom of it from like being cut fed, weird fed
through the roller?
Yeah, yeah, and it's got like these two little cuts through the bottom of it, or the ink at the top of it's, you know, fading down into it, and it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just a better process to use the new to use better paper.
There's for a little while there were two little claw marks in the bottom of the comic book on the inside. Like, yeah, it's almost like it was like a roller with hooks in it that pulled the paper through the printer.
So, yeah, I'm sure if I put one, I probably have one here that has that in it, like nearby.
Yeah,
they happened a lot in the 70s and 80s.
For sure. For my Mike Ruth variant, it finally came in. It's the swamp thing.
Nice.
Mike Ruth. It's too bad the green screen's going nuts because it's a green comic book. But I didn't realize that they put the old DC logo on the cover. Like, I missed that detail the whole time until I actually got the book in hand. And I was like, hey, right on.
Nice little touch of nostalgia. Eh?
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember for the life of me, did I order it raw? Did I order it graded, or did I order it graded and signed? And I guess I ordered it just graded, so I got a 9.8. my buddy Harry got me a raw one that Mike was signing, and Mike did a little doodle on it, and it's like a little drawing of the thing right there.
Okay.
And it says make mine Marvel, because Harry's a Marvel guy and I'm a DC guy. I have a swamp thing with a Mike Ruth thing, Marvel thing, Ben Grimm drawn in the corner.
Nice.
His absolute favorite character.
What's around here somewhere too. The other really wacky thing that came in for me, I was mentioning before the show started, I absolutely love, I'm just such a jerk, I just get so much pleasure buying a slabbed comic on eBay for less than I know the guy ended up spending getting it graded. Like, you got the grading cost, you got the shipping down to Florida, the shipping back, the eBay fees, the PayPal fees, all that stuff. And I just absolutely love finding just the dumbest CGC comic for like $30 Canadian or $40 Canadian. I'm just like, oh, you took a bath on this one, and I'm loving it. I'm just loving it. So one of the books I got, now I have, I also happen to have a lot of nostalgia for this because I read the snot out of these when they came out, but DC Comics Mystery in Space kind of got rebooted in the 80s with the same numbering. And I just have really, really fond memories of this cover. It's Mystery in Space 111. And I actually have Butler. What was his first name? Jerry Butler? the artist. He did a cover recreation of this for me. So I have an 11 by 17 original artwork cover recreation of this issue too.
Oh, nice.
So this was, I can't remember, $42 Canadian shipped for a 9.4.
Hmm.
Nice. So that's going to go on my wall because I just absolutely love this Joe Kubert cover. The aliens coming in and the kid sitting there with his little cap gun. So that was fun. And the other thing that came in was a Micronauts. I have a 9. This is a 9.2.
Nice.
And I can't remember exactly. I think it was $36, $37 Canadian shipped. $32, something like that. But like, again, $40. And there's no way that this guy got this thing graded for less than $40 and delivered and everything. So
no, that's insane.
I just sit there and cackle a little bit. So there will be a Micronauts 9.0 graded CGC comic at my table at Bowmanville Convention.
$40.
Nice.
$20.
Exactly. $20. $20. All yours.
I keep the case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The action figure case. Oh, they do that all the time, eh? You go to a comic book shop and it's like, oh, look, action figure in the case. The figure's $50, but I want the little plastic case back.
Yeah. Like,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's $1. Give it to you.
Exactly.
I've gotten pretty lucky with like getting to keep these when I buy them at the at like shops, getting to keep the little hard plastic cases. They don't
try the top loaders.
The top loaders. I always expect them to go, okay, well, here you go. And then, you know, but lately I've been getting to keep those. I even got to keep one of these ones. This isn't actually one of them, but like one of these things I bought. I paid $110 or $120 for whatever it was. And they let me keep the case. And these things aren't cheap either.
Yeah. I think before COVID they were $20 a case. Was it Comic Pro, Magnetic Comic Pro or something, or Beckett or whoever the manufacturer is?
No, they're, it's written on it somewhere.
BCW? Ultra Pro. Those are great too, because they hang beautifully and they don't interfere with the comic at all for display purposes. And
the clasp just, the click, it's got a click from the magnet, right? I just love it.
Yeah, I've got 5 or 6 of them. That's where all my big name books that aren't graded yet are in.
Yeah. I got my first one. Obviously I wouldn't have bought it. I got my first one and I was like kind of in love with it. And I went back to this shop in the valley and he had loose ones and he let me have them for, I think it was just under $20, like taxes and stuff. He let me have it really cheap. Normally they're $20.99, I think, individually. And then I started buying them. And I bought like 3 packs. I think I have 11 of these maybe now, 12, something like that. And they sit on my wall with my better comics in them being displayed along with my, those, remember those black ones? They're all one piece frames. They came with museum quality glass on them. Snail sold them. That's where I got most of mine. I got them from the Snail.
And the comics slid into it?
No, it had a little piece on the back that you turn pieces and you pull off the back and just put it in there and then put the back on and then lock it into place.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've got a bunch of those. They were $25 a piece. That was the cheapest I ever saw them. $29.99, I think, down here at one point.
Yeah.
And I got them for $12 a piece from George. Thank you, George. at the Snail. Yeah. I was like, do you have any more of these? He's like, yeah, I got a bunch in the back. You can have them. All right.
Nice. Yeah.
We're right on.
But they're awesome. They're fantastic. But I do love these a little bit more because of the ease of getting into them. You can swap them out easier. They're nice looking clear frame. I don't know.
Yeah. They look good. Yeah, I think I have a couple of the trading card versions too. And some of my baseball cards / hockey cards / comic book cards are in them.
Yeah. I highly recommend them. If you guys don't have any, pick up like a single one and try it, just the one. If you hate it, I'll buy it off you. But
nice.
Yeah. Well, I got a few here. So if anyone wants to take a look at one without buying it, you're more than welcome. What else? Oh, yeah.
Martin said he bought one too.
Yeah.
Right now am a fourth student. And it just like Martin, it's been a while you know, buying comics this last couple of years. So I kind of pick and choose what I want. I pre-ordered, have you ever heard of Megan Wang? She's a local. Jason Liu supports her.
Oh, yeah.
So he posted online. And so I pre-ordered her Rangers of the Divide.
Cool.
Yeah, it's, I haven't read it yet, but I don't know if you can tell, like, the art's pretty cool. She's local. So I'm trying to, I supported a bunch of local artists. So I'm still trying to go that way, support local rather than, you know, support the big ones. Yeah, for sure.
What's, what was the name of that comic again?
Rangers of the Divide.
I think Megan colored some of Jason, a couple of his issues.
Yeah, I think so. And he's been posting online for her. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Right on.
I'll have I've seen her artwork too. Before. It's great.
I'll have to take a look at it too. I was on a Facebook group, and I guess, I don't know, the Phantom and Flash Gordon and some of those other King feature characters that pop around here or there. And I guess somebody's licensing the snot out of those characters right now. So there's a whole bunch of action figures coming out. They just announced a set that is going to be the same scale as the Captain Canuck Lev Gleason figure, that 4-inch. The
4.5.
Yeah, whatever that Superpowers is. No, not Superpowers. It's a Secret Wars.
Yeah. The
Marvel Secret Wars size.
Yeah, they're 4.5 inches, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So we were having this conversation, like, I'm 52 and a half, right? I should be that demographic. Wait,
are you six? You're counting the half years now?
Well, you know, I mean,
I'm 52 and I'm 52 and a half.
It's one of those things where I'm honestly not 100% sure if I had my 53rd birthday or I had my 52nd birthday and I'm waiting for my 53rd. I really have to do some math. Like, I gotta go back and go, okay, you were born in the 60s. I just, you know, you stop counting.
52 or thereabouts.
Yeah, 52-ish.
Just say 50-ish. That's all you gotta say. Yeah. Just 50-ish.
I'm young enough not to be a boomer, but not by much. And they were talking about the Phantom and all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, I should be excited about the Phantom, but I'm absolutely not. The Phantom, the Shadow, who else, like all these characters, to me it was like a bad cartoon that didn't go anywhere. It was a Charlton comic book that nobody bought. It was a really horrible movie with Billy Zane, and it just, the character looks cool as all get out. So everyone's like, well, you got to get into it. You got to read some Phantom. You got to actually, you know, go and find some. And there's decades of this stuff. So I didn't know where to start. Somebody mentioned that Jim Aparo, one of my favorite Batman artists from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, drew the Charlton Phantom comics. So I got all excited. I got to find this. You know, I got to get some copies, some issues. And of course, being the hardcover guy that I am now, Hermes Press released a bunch. But it's all out of print and it's all expensive. And it's like $200 on Amazon from an affiliate. It's $150 on eBay and some of this. I found a copy in Australia and ended up getting it landed. It was about $90 Canadian. So I actually ended up getting the Phantom Hermes Press hardcover with Jim Aparo's art in it. So I'm like going to dive into that. I kind of wish Adam was here so he could go, Jim, who? like he does with Mike Grell.
Didn't Kurt Swan do a Shadow you should probably own?
It's possible. I have
as much as you love Kurt Swan, I mean, if he did a Shadow, yeah, exactly, the hardcover, you should definitely own that.
Right. I do. I think I did, but I'm not sure if I sold it in the collection or not. But the Mike Kaluta, is that his name? Shadow from the 70s, the Bronze Age Shadow for DC.
Boy,
I think I have a couple of issues, or I was. But the other neat thing that I like about this is it's digitally cleaned up, but not recolored. Like, this is as cleaned up as you can get from the original scans, but it's still the original scans. You know, they didn't do, like, sometimes when you get these books, they've been so heavily colored that doesn't even resemble the original comic anymore. It's like they went a little bit nuts with the digital painting and stuff. So this has sort of the original look and feel of a 1960s comic. But it is cleaned up to be, you know, as professional as possible. It's not like one of those, what is it, Gwandala Land comics that you can get from Amazon that is just literally stolen PDFs from the Digital Comic Museum.
Is it really?
Yeah, put into a hardcover print. I've got a couple of those. And, you know, if they're charging $12 for a collected edition, sure. But if you're charging $78 and all you did was grab six PDFs from the Digital Museum and then shove it through Amazon's self-publishing thing, dude, come on.
Nice.
So I'll be digging into the Phantom sooner than later. That should be fun. What else is interesting on my desk here?
Did you ever watch the Shadow movie?
Yeah,
like you were talking about the Phantom movie. So I was just wondering if you saw The Shadow.
I actually like that one.
I like that one too. That's why I was wondering if you'd seen that one
with Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually I've rewatched it in the last 5 years too, and I kind of dug it. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It had some you know, minor issues and stuff, but it was pretty good. I actually liked that one.
Yeah. Sometimes when you watch a movie. And then you're like, I didn't really like that. But then you go back to it and watch it. So I just rewatched Spawn last night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? That wasn't a terrible movie. You could see like the CGI was bad and where they could have done more. But it's like, it really wasn't as terrible as I remembered it to be. So it was just kind of like, maybe not everything is as bad as. But I do remember liking The Shadow. I remember.
I think it has a lot to do with your expectations too. Like if you're sitting there in the big, huge screen movie theater with your $50 R2-D2 popcorn bucket, that stuff on the screen better be good. You know. Whereas it's Sunday, also you're in your pajamas, you just had waffles, you're on the couch, you're like, let's see what's on. Oh, The Shadow. Sure. Why not? This will be. Oh yeah. No, it was great. You know, your expectations are a little less when you're dying on the couch after shoveling the dry.
Also a true story.
Yeah. Have you listened to any of the old radio shows of The Shadow?
Not The Shadow, no, but I have tuned into a couple way back in the day. I got a little bit of a bug and I kind of listened to a bunch, but never The Shadow.
I fell into the trap in college. My roommate, like 20 some odd years ago, my roommate had like the whole collection on cassette tape. That tells you how old they were. So every night he just put them on. And so I'd have to fall asleep listening to The Shadow. It was actually pretty good. Mm.
That's like literally my favorite activity right now for like, if I'm stressing out, is to just hop in the car, drive up and down the highway, listening to podcasts, you know? And so maybe that'd be a perfect opportunity to tune in. I got, Sandman. Audible did like a radio drama of Sandman. I have those two and I've never listened to them. Maybe I should tune into. Let's see. Now you got the brain going. I should audiobook this thing.
Yeah.
At $1.60 a liter, you might want to sit at home and listen to them.
Yeah, it hasn't been a while, but yeah, like you just hop in the car, drive down the highway, usually end up at Comic Book Addiction in Whitby.
No, never.
You know, pick up a few things and then drive back listening to the podcasts. Yeah, now Martin's got a good idea. I think we're gonna chase down some Shadow radio dramas and download them onto my podcast app.
I don't think I've ever listened to them, but I found out that my wife has a secret like past of listening to like Shadow and Phantom and Green Hornet on the radio late at night when she was like in her young teens.
Right on.
It's really weird. She couldn't go to sleep, so she just stayed up in the local radio station that she would listen to. Just as soon as it hit like 11:30, I think they started playing these old radio dramas. So she spent a couple of years just listening to these things. I'm like, I had no idea.
Martin puts that on his list along with Rangers of the Divide.
Yep.
Nice. Shadow radio dramas.
I don't talk much, but when I do, I have some good ideas.
Well, the radio dramas, they had to be good, right? Like, because there was no TV. Like, you most of them were pre-TV, right? Like with, especially with Batman and all the, like the Dick Tracy, they did the mini shorts and stuff all the time. And you couldn't just sit down and watch it. So you couldn't see with your eyes. So they had to like, they had to be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would just be like a novel, right? You'd have a narrator and you'd have the different characters doing things and somebody sitting there with some shoes on some gravel on a table to make the sounds. And
oh yeah.
You know, but just because it was old timey doesn't mean it's good. Have you guys ever tried to rewatch like A-Team? Like that
Knight Rider.
That stuff was amazing when I was 12, but 50 something year old Martin is like, what? What the?
Yeah.
I watched, it was A-Team, and the van goes over this jump, and when it lands, you just see the whole front grille snap, both axles break. The wheels are like this,
yeah.
The windshield cracks, and then he's driving off, and you're like, hey, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as you get older, you start to pick apart things. Like,
exactly.
I tried to watch Knight Rider with my kids, and there's something unmystical about the technology that did not exist when I was a kid, but exists now.
Yeah.
It is not uncommon to see people talk to their watch. It is not uncommon to see people walking down the road talking to nobody because they have like a headset in their ear and you can't see it. We have self-driving cars now, like the Teslas will drive on their own. So it's not uncommon to see this technology, but when I was a kid, that stuff didn't exist. It was nothing, right? But it really doesn't blow them away the same as it did me. And so they're watching and they're like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah,
I've
jumped the car.
I've had more arguments with Google in my car than Michael Knight ever did with car. With Kit. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Your kids are probably like, that's the guy from SpongeBob.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left here, lads. So if there's anybody else who has anything cool.
I tended to dominate the last few times we did something like this, so I was trying to be quiet, but my stuff goes back a little ways because I haven't really, like, other than collections, I haven't really bought into a lot of individual comics, but these I bought when they come with certificates. I don't know if you can see signatures.
Oh, Mr. Perez.
This one and right up here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I figured I'd pick up a couple of those, and then I used my brand new label maker from Christmas that my wife got me to basically.
Signed by Marv Wolfman too.
Yeah, signed by Marv Wolfman. There it is. Nice. And then this one. Why can't I get this right? It's like I'm. Yeah. So I just tried to make them fancy in the back.
Nice. Right on.
But I remember last week before we were talking about Shooter, I think. And I was like, yeah, I got some stuff signed. I got like the Dazzler graphic novel signed. And I didn't have anything really, really good. So I got this one signed by him. Oh, it's right nothing on. Really, not really a key issue by any stretch. It was just what I had on me. And I'm like, I'm going to get him to sign it. What I really wanted him to sign, and I didn't have at the time, was his first work.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Right. So
wasn't he like 6 when he wrote that or something?
13. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
13, nice.
His first written work in comics, like not just DC or Legion, but his first written work in comics. And it's the first appearance of Karate Kid, Pharaoh Lad, Princess Projectra, and Nemesis Kid. But I actually had to press that and clean it. It did not look as nice as it does now.
I'm going to have to do a hard dive on all my Legion of Superheroes trades and stuff like that. And hardcovers, the Darkness Saga book 2 just came out, and I bought that. And because I loved Legion when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite comics. Legion and New Teen Titans.
Yeah, I was a big Legion fan.
My top two comics in the Baxter era.
And the Great Darkness that holds up.
Yeah,
I mean it's still a good story. I have the hardcover, the oversized hardcover. It's awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to dive into that sooner than later.
But yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, my wife got me. I mean, this for Christmas, like we're got them going back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then a few weeks ago, I picked up.
Right on, the boys.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's first appearance of Soldier Boy and second Crimson Countess.
I'm so looking forward to that starting up. Jason Eccles, a Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, for whatever reason, I don't know why I do it. It's kind of like my Captain Canuck. I see a Dazzler there for less than $10. Dazzler number one. As long as it's not beat up, it looks like it's in very fine plus condition. I don't like to leave it in the box.
No, do you want my Dazzler 9.2 that I paid $44.52 for? Graded.
Yeah, I mean, I don't typically buy graded books, and I have, and I've always resold them because I don't like I don't have any way to really display them. I don't want to spend a lot of money doing it. I bought that First Valkyrie,
right?
Oh, although nice. She's Enchantress disguised as Valkyrie, but
there you
and
go.
Then that, you know.
Oh, nice!
First cover appearance of Ironheart.
There
that's
you go.
Exactly what it is. So that's all the stuff I really bought recently, like individually, that didn't just show up in a comic collection.
And coincidentally, that brings us to the end of the show. So, ladies and gents, as always, tune in to the show on heykidscomics.ca. We're on YouTube-ish. I think I'm one episode behind uploading to YouTube, but we'll get it up there. All your favorite podcasting apps, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.